From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we're looking back at the best moments from our Not My Job game. In August 2005, our years of begging and cajoling and whining and generally being a pest paid off when we finally talked the host of NPR's Fresh Air, Terry Gross, into appearing on our show. A few months ago, we had Don LaFontaine, king of the movie trailers, on our show, and we asked him to give the voice of God treatment to the introductions to some popular public radio shows, including this one.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
And Terry heard it. And she called us up to thank, and then I said, now will you be in the show? And we wore her down. Terry Gross, what a pleasure to have you on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, I love the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, like I said, you told me this. I've heard you say it in other venues. Even though you've been, for 20 years now or more, the preeminent interviewer in public radio, maybe anywhere, you don't like to be asked questions. Is that right?
Well, I've been interviewed more since saying that, so I've gotten used to it. But as far as being on a quiz show, it's lucky that the questions you're going to ask me are things I'm not supposed to know anything about, because I was afraid I wouldn't know about them anyway, even if I was supposed to know about them.
So did that make you nervous, the quiz aspect of it?
Yeah, I don't have a great memory. Like, I learn all this stuff, and I'm really glad I learn it, but I just forget so easily.
Well, that's interesting to me.
You realize you've said that twice now.
But that's one of the things that you're known for, though. I mean, is the amazing preparation you apparently do. I mean, you actually read every book that you're talking to the author of, or see every movie.
I have 6 books on my table right now as we speak.
Are you going to be reading them during this interview? Because I'll understand.
It depends how interesting it is.
All right. I understand. Now, there have been a couple of interviews we wanted to ask you about, because most people, it seems to me, who I hear in your show, they feel grateful to be there, because they're talking to somebody who does know their work and has done the background. Some people haven't been so grateful.
I know where this is
going.
I can
think of it.
Yeah. I have a vested interest in this. You and I have something in common. We've both interviewed Gene Simmons.
No, what we have in common is we've both been insulted by Gene Simmons.
Yes. Now, and I admire you.
Peter, he didn't say to you, like he said to me, if you want to welcome me with open arms, you'll also have to welcome me with open legs. He didn't say that to you, did he?
Well, did he, Peter?
Peter?
Well, not on the radio. I mean, he was, really, in person, he's really quite charming. Well, what was amazing to me, because this is what happened, we had him on our show. He was promoting a book of his, and we were just overwhelmed by how obnoxious he was, and we really had no way of dealing with it. We were just stunned into almost silence. But you, bless your heart, you went after him. You were like, are you really this obnoxious, or are you just pretending? Which, well, I admire you for.
I figured I had the choice of either acting like nothing unusual was going on, and just keeping, saying, well, on your second record, or I could act like I was a kindergarten teacher and say, Mr. Simmons, if you continue to behave this rudely, we'll have to terminate this interview now. Or I could just say, God, that's really obnoxious. So that's what I went with.
Yeah. Actually, I did want to do this, Terry, because you are known for, at least in my circles, for your particular style of questioning. I mean, we have a Terry Gross style question for you.
Okay.
So, for example, one of the things that you're known for is fearlessly trying to link the work of your guests to their personal lives and their persons. For example, you asked, I believe, Chris Rock, I think it was, if being very skinny affected his work. Did you not? And his answer was yes, it did.
Yes, I did.
Terry, you're not a very tall person.
That's certainly indisputable.
And I was going to ask if you feel that your lack of stature, physically speaking, has affected your life's work.
Well, let's see. It's interesting being invisible on the radio, because in person people are always saying, oh, you're so short. And when I enter a room, things don't stop me. Like, some people have such stature, like they enter the room and people just gasp, like a giant has walked among us. I enter in a room and you can't even see me. So radio is a great place for me. I love being invisible,
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I know what you mean. I mean, I'm 6'4", and but I can imagine if I was a short person and unimpressive, that might be an advantage. Well, Terry Gross, we are utterly delighted to have you with us, and we have, in fact, asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You Are America's Ballroom Dancing, Pill-Popping First Lady.
Kids today might know of Betty Ford just for her preeminent place in the recovery movement, but before she revealed herself to be a Valium addict, she was also First Lady of the United States. We're going to ask you three questions about Ms. Ford, taken from the new book, Secret Lives of the First Ladies, by Cormac O'Brien. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Fresh Air host Terry Gross playing for?
Peter, Terry is playing for David Kupferman of Wilmette, Illinois.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, Betty Ford was an accidental First Lady. Her husband became president when Nixon resigned, of course. What was one of the first changes Ms. Ford made to the running of the executive mansion? Was it A, the White House liquor supply was no longer reserved for the exclusive use of the president? B, the White House security staff was now allowed to look at the First Family and even speak to them? Or C, stewards were no longer required to order the 2 monthly bottles of brown hair dye reserved for the First Family?
I'm going to go with the security staff one, B.
B?
Yeah.
You're right. Very good.
All right.
Under Nixon, security guards were not allowed to even look at the president or his wife. In contrast, President and Mrs. Ford were known to actually speak to the help. That's very good, Terry. Very good. You should feel confident. Here's your next question.
Okay.
A true woman of the 70s, Betty Ford did which of these to help her husband's campaign in 1976? Did she A, appear at campaign events with a pet rock named Jerry Jr.? B, to raise funds, she made and auctioned off original string art depictions of the White House? Or C, she campaigned by CB radio using the handle First Mama?
I'm going to go with the CB radio.
You're right.
Wow.
All right, let's see if you can go for perfect, because few people have accomplished that. Here we go. Betty Ford, it turns out, made history in the White House. How? A, she was the first lady to sleep in the same bedroom as her husband. B, she was the only resident of the White House ever to keep a loaded and licensed firearm on the premises. Or C, she was the first and so far only First Lady to interrupt a daily White House tour and invite the tourists up to her own suite of rooms.
I'm going to go with C, interrupt the tour and bring everybody up to her room.
Come on up.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid it was the A. She was the first First Lady to share a bedroom with her husband. Prior to the
Ford. What does that say?
Well, prior to the Fords, the First Lady and the President each had their own bedroom suite separate. Although we assume that over 200 years there was a fair amount of padding back and forth up the hallway in the middle of the night.
You know, this exercise has made me think that maybe now when I ask questions of my guests in my show, if they get the answers right to my questions, I should give them prizes.
Yeah.
Kind of change the interviews a little bit.
I'd love to hear you ask somebody about their past and then say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not correct. Thanks for playing.
And the best part would be this. At the end of the interview, you'd turn in and say, Carl, how did our guest do in our quiz? Well, how did she do?
Well, Terry, you had 2 correct answers, so you win our prize for David Kupferman. Very good. Congratulations.